Often when we realize that a lot of these ways that we think are not actually ours, it's something that was imprinted when you were very, very small. And like you said very well, if we want to be more specific, your brain and your nervous system was not yet formed. So you already have like an imprint that comes from the family, the environment, the situation that you grew up with. So when you're more like an adult and like more conscious, more aware, you having to integrate the past is very important, but it's also equally important to do it compassionately. You have to be compassionate about your story, and in that regard, also your family story as well.
Hello, and welcome to Curious Ones podcast by Yandara. I'm Yael Ginsberg, the host of the podcast, a yoga and meditation teacher and philosophy lover. Each week, you will hear eye-opening interviews with the different teachers of the Yandara Yoga Institute, located in beautiful Baja, Mexico, along with other teachers that pass through here. This life-changing knowledge, shared through authentic, heartfelt communication, will help you live a happier, more fulfilled, and connected life. Let's dive in. What I was thinking is that, do we need to live the normal way of
Well,
living?
that's,
Like, what is
isn't it?
normal?
I honestly think that you have to live in the way that you feel satisfied with yourself and about what you do in the world, but also how you take care of yourself. And I think if you're satisfied and happy with that, then it doesn't really matter what the outside looks like. In the same time, what I also learn is that, or I am learning that, it's not like done. I am learning that is sometimes in life, there are certain things that you don't want to do, but you have to do them. They're part of your, I don't know, maturing, growing up, commit to something that sometimes you know it's the right thing to do, but you rather be doing something else that it's a little bit more that has more gratification in that moment. It's the same as the,
Or fun.
yeah, a little bit more fun, but also what I learned so far is that those very quick instant gratification things, whatever that is, it's not sometimes not really that satisfying. And so then you have to, okay, then what is the committed long-term choices that I have to go through, or I have to follow that in order to actually have that sense of satisfaction and that I'm here doing my part in the world, in this play, in this setup. Either be like inside your family, inside your community, inside your circle of friends, sometimes not in your circle of friends and outside, the people you don't know as well. So I feel like, yeah, there's definitely a balance between, okay, this is what I feel like doing in the moment, and now I have to do this that I don't really feel like it, but that's the right thing to do. And it's not something that people tell you. It's more like it's your own internal compass that guides you with that. And I don't think nobody can do that for you. You
Definitely.
have to orient, you have to listen to this compass. Because you're the one having the abilities, it's your life. You choose. And let's face it, we're in privileged places that we can actually have choices. That's one thing I shifted. I always thought that I have so many choices, like a lot of thinking. But wow, what a privilege to have choices, right?
Yeah.
What a privilege.
Definitely. Wow, I feel like you brought up such an important subject, because I think about this often in my life, of what is the right thing to do as opposed to what I feel like would be the easiest thing to do, and or like the most gratifying, as you said, thing to do.
Yeah.
Or the most fun thing to do, because on one hand I'm thinking like, yeah, we do have a role in this life. We do each have a responsibility for our contribution to life and the evolution of life. But we also have a responsibility to enjoy the limited time that we're here.
Totally, totally.
And make the most of it.
Yes.
So, I mean, how do you navigate that? I mean, it's definitely a question that keeps coming up for me all the time.
Yeah, I think, you know, it's... I think first you need to define what is actually important for you here in this life. You know, what's your, I don't mean like your goals in life. I mean like more like your values. What are the values that you orient yourself through? So, you know, one value might be freedom. And it's like you commit yourself to that aspect of freedom and whatever that means, you know, like how do you find freedom? Could be traveling, could be being free from certain commitments, or really dedicating your, you know, your life force, your attention to the pursuit of freedom. Or it could be like, you know, one of your values is you really want to live in family and community. And so then that's, you want to orient your actions, right, towards that. But it's important to define what is your, like, values. Because let's say if you value a lot freedom and then you are committed in a job that you can't, you know, go anywhere, or then the value and the action is not aligned, you know? So, mm-hmm. So I find that for me, it's important to define the values first, and then it's easier to align the actions to match that value system. But what I also find is that sometimes this changes in life. Because, you know, you go through smaller cycles, larger cycles within your own life. And sometimes that changes. And yeah, for me right now, I'm much more committed into structure, for example. It's one of my focuses. And so I dedicate a lot of my time as in how to create a structure that I feel satisfied in it. And satisfied is just another way of saying happy, you know, because happy is such, it's so broad, you know, what actually feels like to be happy. And for me, satisfaction is very important, that I feel satisfied with what I do. Because sometimes I've been in, you know, in situations in life where on the outside, it might have looked that I achieved something big or significant, and then I didn't felt that satisfaction inside. So for mm-hmm. me, satisfaction is something like, again, this aspect of having your internal compass guiding you through life, right? And so yes. that's something important that I orient myself, like, do I feel satisfaction from doing this or not? And like we were mm-hmm. saying, sometimes you have to do things that are not, you know, you're not necessarily like to do them, but they still can bring you that satisfaction just because you're doing them. And like I say, satisfaction could be something, another feeling, let's say, another sensation even.
You mean like per person?
Per person. It's very individual, mm-hmm. right? And so this yeah. is why... it's important that we can look outside for inspiration. But we definitely need to look inside for guidance, you know?
Beautiful.
Yeah.
Definitely.
And that is, you have to get to know yourself. You know, if you are a student of yoga, a new student of yoga, a more like experienced student of yoga, which we all are students of yoga, mm-hmm. independently what we do, then the key principle of yoga is self-knowledge. Mm-hmm. You have to know yourself.
Right.
It's like how you operate, what's your patterns, what really makes you connected and alive, what doesn't, mm-hmm. you know. And the first thing to bring into practice is really eliminating this comparison.
Wow.
So,
you know,
that's why I mean about look outside for inspiration, but look inside for your guidance, because you know what's best for you.
I love that, because we definitely do need inspiration from outside, and we definitely need to get the guidance from inside. And I loved what you were saying about feeling satisfaction in what we're doing, because I find that if we're not aligned with where we need to be, and when I say need to be, it's like in terms of, I look at it as our fulfilling our higher purpose, as being in the right place for us, not the right place according to like what other people say. And if we're not aligned with our internal world and our external world, then that's where suffering always shows up.
Yeah, definitely.
So we're already going into the conversation, but I want to introduce you.
All right. The conversation. There was no intro.
Just went into it. Because we started we're already recording, so we started talking, and it was so good that I had to start recording the conversation. So this
is a good
sign.
Where we go from here.
Exactly. So this is my dear teacher, Sofia Araujo. Araujo. No, I said it wrong.
That's good enough. I appreciate.
She is from Portugal. That's where her beautiful name is. I attended her training there 4 years ago, her yin training, and it was just incredible. I always remembered it, and I always go back to it when I'm teaching in my classes. I still look through the workbook and use it in building classes until today. Sofia is a yoga teacher. She's the director of the International Yoga School, Swara. And she's also a writer and a yoga therapist and a macrobiotic chef and many more things. So welcome to the podcast, Sofia. Let's just keep going from where we are, because I really would love to hear from you about how has your journey looked like in getting to know and defining these values for yourself. And you said that it changes over time. So how did you go about doing that? And how do you advise other people to start to get to know themselves? Because I really see that getting to know ourselves is the first step in understanding what we want to do in the world. And surprisingly, many of us don't really know ourselves.
Right.
So where did you start, and how do you advise others?
Yeah. So I think going back a little bit to my individual journey, let's say it in that way, of self-knowledge, definitely yoga has been my tool and my practice that it's not like only gave me internal insights, but it also allowed me to see the world, you know, And as I'm very curious person, always been, and knowing different cultures, different places, again, it was something that I always wanted. And through yoga, and again, not planned at all, I was able to actually travel a lot around the world. In the beginning, as a student, pursuing this knowledge, these practices, going to India a lot, going, spending a lot of my time in Asia. But at the same time, as you do these external travels, you're also doing your own internal ones. And so, I mean, I would say the first thing to do is to, you have to awaken this curiosity of getting to know yourself. Like, you need to have that curiosity, because if you don't have it, then the, you know, just the doing your normal things you do in life, and going through those phases of life, you know, growing up, studying, family, pursuing of careers, all these things are what we do more in the external world, let's say, and that's how us in society. But are we dedicating the equal time to getting to know the internal world? And so I would say you have to first awaken that curiosity. You need to have it, and then use tools that help you go within, but in a compassionate and in a safe way, which I've always found that yoga is like that, because it's gentle in a way. You don't really, for example, even if you're practicing asana or postures, and you don't really peel your layers of tension in the first week of practice, probably in the first 5 years of your practice. So you know, you go slowly and compassionately and safely, and feel that, you know, the change is integrated into your daily life and into your lifestyle. So awaken that curiosity, use some tools to dive deep. I say yoga because that has been a lot my tool, as same as dance as well. I danced for many years, and combined yoga and dancing for my own personal practices. So I find that there needs to be first the desire to get to know yourself, and then from there, you it's like a garden. Then you start nurturing that garden, and then life itself is a teacher. So you also get that, you also get those teachings along the way. So I feel like, yeah, there's definitely that combination of wanting, you know, awaking this wanting to know yourself, because like you said, many people don't know themselves. And a lot of the times is because we don't want to. Because getting to know yourself also means, you know, getting to know the parts of you that you're not so happy with, or not so proud of, or maybe parts of the past that were painful, and you might have to, you know, look at them. And then you have to look through many things, including, like, I feel there's this clear distinction between, you know, your early years of your life living in, you know, in family and in with the influence of family, and then when you start to be a young adult and you start making choices for yourself, and at that point you have a combination of everything you've been, which has a lot of the family and influence, the society influence, and
And past
then
lives as well.
past lives, that's already a belief, you know, like in this lifetime, you know that you got that. And then what you build from that on, you know, like, what, how you forge now your path. And I feel like in my life so far, it was those phases were very distinct. From the point I went to move out of my parents' house, which I went to live in another country. So that was a very clear passage for me from my, okay, Sophia under the influence of, you know, school, university, family, parents, ideas of parents and values into, okay, who am I like individually and what are my values? And I feel like in the last 20 years, it's been an exploration of that. And there are things that are core and other things, they fluctuate in those values.
Mm-hmm. What are your core values?
Wow, that's a great question. My core values are, there's several. I think like some of the values that really guide me are kinship between people, like either being family or friends, like connection. Like I feel when I'm isolated, I'm not at my best. Even through the yoga lens, isolation and withdrawal and, you know, all the aspects of meditation that are so important, and they are important as well, are about somehow disconnection of the outside so you can focus on the inside. Makes perfect sense. I feel like I actually, maybe because I've done that a lot, I feel like the connection with people is actually one of the things that feeds me on a spirit kind of level. And that, so that has something that has not changed in a long time like this. And what other values are that, like, I think about things that are core are also things that maybe they were part of that beginning aspect of life. And so if I go back all the way there, what I feel like some of the values that were also passed through me through the family that I was born into is always help the other. I always seen my parents doing that for everybody. Like even being the closest family to the strangers. And so help in whatever way you can. And there's always a way you can help. More direct, less direct. There's always a way you can help. So that's definitely a core value. And I've taken that into my work, as in, for me, I don't see the people that come in these courses or in these trainings like you did in that week or those 3 weeks that I'm there with you. I'm totally there for you. I'm not just there teaching you. Like I want to be like fully available. And that's something, I don't know if you can say that's a core value, but that's definitely something I've learned through life, is that I can only give you my full attention if I have this availability. And to have that availability, I need to put myself a little bit on the side from that. And that has been a very interesting exercise to do. Let's call it an exercise. How you can be with somebody, but put your, like, I don't know, maybe that's your ego or your needs for that time, like put it completely to the side and just be really present and available to the person and to the people that are there. And that comes from deeply caring about people's awakening, transformation, expansion. I deeply care for that. It's mm-hmm. not that I care that you get your certificate in the end, which is important too, but it's more like the process of that. I deeply care for these for people that I'm with, and that's not just in work. I think my friends will tell you that too.
That's beautiful.
I hope.
I'm sure. Yeah. I'm sure. I feel like, I mean, I can definitely see that in your work. First of all, just deciding to be a teacher of yoga, teacher of teachers, that in itself is a very giving profession and way of life. And I've also, like, in doing the research, I see that a lot of proceeds from, I think, most of your offerings go to donations, supporting women around the world and different organizations. Yeah. So, I mean, I feel like you're not just saying this, you're actually doing it. And that's a beautiful approach to it, like not keeping sharing when you have to share whatever that is, which is beautiful. I wanted to say also about what you said before about the values and the information that we receive during childhood and then who we decide to be later in life. I think that an important point to mention is that many times what we learn in childhood from the eyes and from the brain capacity of a child carries with us to adulthood. And if we don't take the time to realize what those things are, they subconsciously control our reactions, our thoughts, our beliefs, our worldview, our interaction with people, and just every aspect of our life, basically. So I feel like that's a really important reason why we should start to learn about ourselves and uncover these things. Because for me, I've always been so curious, because I was like, okay, once I figure it out, I'll be able to deal with it. Like, I've always been so excited to get to know these parts of myself, but I feel like it is not something that is widely spoken about, that it's even possible to do this, to look inside. We don't learn this in school. And I feel like unless you somehow find the spiritual path and the spiritual way, it is not something that is encouraged in many, many places.
Yeah, for sure. I feel like today the spiritual path can definitely deliver you this inner insights that we're talking about, like this inner knowledge, like who you are, where you come from, why you're here, you know, all these big questions that are often as the basis of spiritual inquiry. At the same time, nowadays we see a huge focus in the West in mental health, and mental health requires inner work. Like, if you're going to, like, therapy, for example, is inner work, whatever form of therapy you're choosing. And so in that way, I feel like those, what I consider the base of spiritual inquiry is actually also part of the therapy setting that we see today. And that might be a way of delivering and of providing those tools for internal exploration that are not necessarily spiritual practices. It's just you going to therapy and getting to know your patterns. And I find that very helpful. Now, we have to, you know, there's so many types of therapy that you, even in that, you have to choose the one that suits you best, you know, as in the one that you're gonna like, because in a way it's a tool, right? So how you're gonna take the most out of that tool that you're choosing to invest, because you're investing everything, you're investing your time, you're investing, you know, it's not just that 1 hour you go to therapy, is everything that comes out and after a session, right? Sometimes it takes you days to integrate that information, because you're going often you're also going to the past, right? And like I said in the beginning, that might not be so easy to do. And so I find that, yeah, coming back to where we started, that there are many ways that you can go into that internal world. What it's important is that when you come out, that you integrate what you learn into your life in the here and now. And that you also find a way of looking into the past. Because these realizations are painful sometimes. And often when we realize that a lot of these ways that we think are not actually ours, is something that was imprinted when you were very, very small. And like you said very well, if we want to be more specific, your brain and your nervous system was not yet formed. So mm-hmm. you already have like an imprint that comes from the family, the environment, the situation that you grew up with. So when you're more like an adult and like more conscious, more aware, you having to integrate the past is very important, but it's also equally important to do it compassionately. You have to be compassionate about your story, you know? And in that regard, also your family story as mm-hmm. well. And, you know, I'm a big believer that, you know, people do the best they can. Sometimes on the outside, it might look, might not look like that, but.
We might wish their best was different.
Yeah, exactly. When I look at, for example, like my growing up situation, I feel like, wow, there was a lot of things, yes. And again, this was in a process of therapy of, mm-hmm. you know, there are so many things. I was like, oh, I wish they did it differently. But then at the same time, I'm like, I know that they were doing their best. Mm-hmm. And so from that comes gratitude for everything that you've been through that led you here.
Yes.
Including the beginning of your life, you know, definitely. And the people that cared for you.
Yeah, I like to think about it because I would say that I had a pretty difficult upbringing with my family situation. And the way that I have reconciled it with myself and the way that that makes me feel good when I look at it in this way is that the hardships that we went through, like, first of all, I believe that our soul chooses our family in order to go through these lessons. The specific parents, the siblings, the family situation and everything. And then when I look at it in like a bigger long-term perspective, I think of the fact that in order to really, so again, like fulfilling my destiny, the reason that I was put into this world, my kind of mission, my purpose in life, in order to be able to fulfill it, to carry the weight of what I'm meant to carry, I had to go through these difficulties because they truly did make me who I am and created the depths in me.
Yeah.
that I have and continue to work on and discovering.
Yeah. And so when you see things from that perspective, what do you feel in relation to that, to the past aspect of you?
I feel like it had to happen in this way. And in general, I have really started to change the way that I look at challenge. Even like it's easier to see it when my friends are going through challenge, and it's not so easy to look at it as when I'm going through challenge at the moment, but I'm I'm going towards it. But I just see on myself and in my past and in my journey how meaningful challenges have been to my growth. And I also see it for the people around me. So when one of my friends is telling me, like, my friend just had a breakup and it's really hard, no matter how you look at it, I'm sad that she's feeling sad. I wish I could take it away. But on the other hand, I'm saying, like, thank you that this is happening, because now you're able to learn the lessons that you needed to learn in order to... Yes,
the way, you know.
Mm-hmm. So I can,
the way,
like,
that you...
It's part of the way that you practice, and it's like, it had to be this way. I don't know why, but human beings grow by going through challenge.
Yeah. We would like that was not like that.
Yes.
But that's not the reality.
Yeah. So I feel like the challenges are really the opportunity to, like, to say thank you for the hardship that's happening.
Yeah. And that's a very creative way of looking at challenges. I think it's it shows maturity as well, because you don't see it anymore. Oh, it's not going the way I wanted, but you accept it as, this is the way life wanted it. So you go a little bit, there's more flow and less resistance, which means less suffering.
Exactly.
Ultimately.
Exactly. I feel like finding the way to align with the flow of life is really one of our biggest jobs as humans on this planet. Hey, I'm quickly interrupting the episode to extend an invitation. If you are interested in deepening into any of the subjects we talk about on the podcast, we offer many different experiences on our beautiful grounds here in Baja, Mexico. From 9-day modules such as sound healing and yoga nidra, to breath and meditation, as well as 200 or 300-hour yoga teacher trainings, and many different shorter retreats. Check out our website, yandara.com, to see all the information about the different experiences. Let's get back to the episode. Moving into the subject that I would love to talk with you about, which is women's health. Sophia has a training all around women's health, and I've had it in my mind for a long time. So I feel like it's a really, really important subject, because it's not something that we learn anywhere. I feel like so many women do not know how to really navigate life while listening to the natural rhythm of our own cycles, our life, the rhythm of the masculine, feminine energy balance. And I mean, that really relates to what we were talking about, because it's really about finding this flow. It's not forcing things to be in a certain way. So the image that I have in my head is like trying to stop a river from flowing, like holding your hands against the water, like it's not going to work.
Yeah.
But stepping into the river and letting yourself, like, kind of flow within. And I find that that's really one of our biggest jobs in life. So when we speak about women's health, first of all, maybe you can define what that means.
Yeah. Okay. That's a great place to start, because women's health is the way I'm practicing and delivering that through these educational courses, is through a lens of yoga, right? And it's through a lens of also this more Eastern practices of Ayurveda or traditional Chinese medicine that, you know, uses the five element system as a system of understanding how our bodies operate and how our bodies operate within the environment. But it's also systems that really are holistic and integrative, and that take in, it's like the core principle is really this idea of cyclical energy. And we all, independently from where we're from, we have a connection to cyclical energy, even if it's just through seasons, for example. Or if you don't live in a place that has seasons, there's always a, you know, a time, like let's say you live closer to the equator, there's always a time where, you know, it's monsoon or it's dry season. So nature in itself is always in a cycle and it's always in movement. And if we are part of nature, we are going through that as well. And what I love about these systems, it's more Eastern systems, is that they look at life, health, even the questions we were talking about, like spiritual connection, understanding, everything is weaved into this cyclical energy. And what I mean energy is like phases as well, right? So we have the seasons, we have life in itself, which is a combination of different phases. We just talked about one, which is our childhood and everything that we get imprinted there. Then later it's going to influence the way we experience ourselves and we see the world. So everything is wrapped in a cycle in itself. And then as women, we also have our menstrual cycle. We all as humans have the day and night cycle. At night, we go to bed, restore. During the day, we're active. It's like sun. It's like the sun and the moon, which is the basis of yoga, hatha, sun, moon, yoga. That's the translation. And so it's how to integrate those polar opposite energies inside the cycle itself. And so we look at the menstrual cycle of the woman as a, again, a compass of the health, of how the health is manifesting as well. And so each phase of the cycle has characteristics, has mindsets that we go through. And that's more like the specifics. I guess the core that it's really important is that women understand that we do not feel or operate in the same way all the time. Mm-hmm. It's against our nature. Our nature is the cycle, and a cycle always changes. It's like it morphs into something else. So if you're having your pre-ovulation and all the hormones that come in the pre-ovulation, at some point that will change and become ovulation. If the ovulation with all sorts of characteristics and combinations of hormones, it's also going to change in a few days into pre-menstruation until you're all the way bleeding again. So it's very obvious that our bodies, our womanly body, lives in that kind of shift and cyclical movement. And so it's about us first tuning into that, because that's the once you get that, everything else will be, it's just common sense, because you've been feeling it all your life, you know. Mm-hmm. You know, you're often a little bit more sensitive or a bit more cranky or a bit more like on edge before, you know,
or crying for no reason.
Yeah, there's a reason why that happens, because the body, the hormonal system is kind of designed in that way for us women. And also like the being a little bit more technical, but like the hormonal system is so dependent on the nervous system that how we feel and how like and how we show up for ourselves and how we perceive environment, it's actually what's going to influence how you go through these changes in your cycle.
Really?
So yeah. So then you're like looking at women's health through the lens of yoga. It's all about regulating yourself. If you regulate yourself, you regulate your cycle. Mm-hmm. And that is the principle behind everything that we do in these courses and what we teach. It's like And I mean, you've seen that in the yin training we did. The yin training has such a strong emphasis also on regulation. And the regulation is simply coming from a very hyperactive lifestyle with lots of, you know, distractions, stimulations into, you know, then suddenly come for a week and sit in front of the beach and just do yin yoga and meditation. And it's a little bit radical to do that, but it's kind of sometimes what's necessary to
balance
the scales, you know.
Definitely.
So yeah, so women's health, but from this perspective, you know, from understanding that we go through cycles. Our menstrual cycle is a very obvious one. And so how can we adapt our lifestyle, our mindset, so we can harness the most out of these cycles?
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of the principle behind it.
Beautiful. I completely understand what you're talking about, because in our life, we are so disconnected from our natural rhythm because of the way that our society is formed and the values that are considered more important, like achievement and, you know, the more masculine values of external action. And that in a lot of way really disconnects us from our internal rhythm. And I find, like, I feel like this is a really important thing for me to work on with myself, and a really important subject to speak about. I picked up, in preparation for this conversation, I picked up the book Women Who Run With the Wolves. Have you read it? So it's a beautiful book about connecting back to our feminine energy, instincts, exactly. And I opened the book and I was like, okay, what should I talk with Sophia about? Of course, I opened the book in exactly the right page. And it was about how we are really disconnected from our natural instinct. And when we speak about women's health, for me, it's exactly what you said. It's the physical, technical aspects of our health, but it's also the more subtle layers of our health, like our emotional health, our connection to the nervous system, our connection to our natural cycles, and also the more feminine, you know, the more feminine, what's the word, ethereal, aspects of our femininity, like connection to the intuition and the listening and receiving and the rest and the relaxation, which is, I think, really important subject to speak about. So maybe you can speak a little bit about how we can bring more of the feminine energy, more of the listening to our instincts, to our natural rhythm in the Western world that is very much disconnected.
Right. Yeah. So the first thing, like I said, is really this understanding of our cyclical nature, cyclical or cyclical. I never know how to say that. One of those.
Mm-hmm.
And awareness, you know, actually we can even say awareness is like pre all of that, because mm-hmm. it's like it all starts with awareness. And then you have to be willing to learn something different, not new. Because we all, as women, we all know this on some kind of unconscious way or subconscious or instinct way.
Yeah.
We all know this, because I've taught this all over the world. And when I talk about this, and to different women, different, sometimes not in, like I taught in Spanish once, like my Spanish is not really good for teaching, but people got it. And What I find is that once you talk about these subjects, everybody goes like, yep, I can. It's not like you're saying something, it's not like a wild theory, or it's very nature-based. So it's very instinctual as well. And so what I've seen is that it's like once you see it, you cannot unsee it, basically. Once you notice the changes, you cannot unnotice. You will notice that in it's learning to know your body, of how your body goes through your cycle. Because menstruation takes up like a long time of our life, right? And because, as in, there's many years, which is great, yeah. But so it's part of, so I focus on that because also that is the phase of life that I am. But even when the menstruation stops, like later in perimenopause, menopause, you still go through changes. You still go through cycles. Now these changes are not so obvious hormonally, and there's not the actual blood in there to see it like visually, but you're still going through your changes. But in what I teach, I focus on like the menstrual cycle or the menstrual wheel as the blueprint to understand how everything changes about us every week, basically. And so then you have to integrate all of that in your understanding of yourself. Of like, now you have to shift from, oh, I'm like this, and it's a very fixed way of looking at yourself, to, oh, I'm changing through the different internal environments, let's say it like that. And then you have to, and this is something we teach in the courses, but again, these teachings are all like common sense. They're not anything wild, let's say. And then you have to adjust, like, okay, if I'm feeling, for example, I'm about to bleed, and if I'm feeling like tight and feeling a little bit stressed, then let me choose a practice. And when I say a practice, it means anything that you choose to do for yourself in that moment, that it's going to somehow ease this discomfort that I'm feeling. And we do that instinctively as well. It's just we do it with things that are short-term gratification instead of more like the long term. So if I'm tight, I know I'm about to have my period. If I have a glass of wine or a bottle of wine, I'm gonna feel very relaxed and loose. But that's a very different tool than using, okay, let me do some nice yin stretches. Let me take some deep breaths. Let me maybe I need some movement, and then I go out for a walk. Or actually, today I can't work. I need to rest. I need to sleep. Yeah, so one of the things I was able to do with this work that is, I find like it's something special that to have been part of it, is to I was with this company, we designed this policy for all women to have a free day off paid per month, where they can just take the day off for self-care on their first day of menstruation, or it can be the second day, it doesn't matter. It's just once a month you get 12 free days a year that you can use or not. It's up to you, because again, self-responsibility is everything. You can use it to just rest. And rest can be like one of the things that we've done in that process was to really educate people what rest is. Rest doesn't mean just sleep. Rest can be, going for a walk and have a restful effect. Switching off your phone for a few hours can have a restful effect. So rest can also be active, you know, can be passive as in like sleeping, but can also be active in the, it's more like the effect of the things that you're choosing to do, the effect that is delivered to you.
Yeah, I love that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And so, but all of this, like I said, there's the technical aspect to it, but it really requires a change in mindset.
Mm-hmm.
And that is the mindset of like being, I'm a rigid, fixed, this is how I think, this is how I feel, into, oh, actually that changes mm-hmm. quite often. Again, so, we have the core values, but you know, how I feel things in 1 week might be how I feel differently in the other week.
Yeah, I feel like so many times we think, first of all, that we're the same all the time. And I think something that has been very important for me is to know when I'm in the different stages, because when I don't know, then I try to kind of fight against the place that I am, trying to like create new things. And this happened to me actually a few weeks ago, that I was like really trying to push against my tiredness that I had. And then I was suffering because I was like not letting myself embrace where I am. I was trying to make it something else. And once I realized, I was like, oh wait, I'm actually right before the cycle. It completely changed my whole internal feeling, because it was the difference between like trying to force something that isn't there than to just like step back and relax into what is actually there.
Yeah, what's present. And what's present, we have to go to the body.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what's happening in the body.
Yeah.
Not what you're thinking about. That's a classical example of how we as women sometimes push from reserves that we don't have.
Yeah.
And that only leads to, I have experienced, even with this knowledge, I have experienced it in my body. When you push through something like reserves that you don't have, you will end up in sickness.
Mm-hmm.
And if not in sickness, in symptoms at least.
Yeah.
And so it's very important to learn when, you know, when to go, when to stop.
Definitely.
When to push, when to rest.
Yeah.
It's kind of like it's a delicate balance.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, and this goes the other way, you know, sometimes you might like be lazy for some reason, but you're actually, you know, if you tweak things a little bit and do some practices, maybe you can harness that. Actually, you have a lot of energy at that point. You're just mm-hmm. like kind of procrastinating and not wanting to do, not because you cannot, but because you're like not in the mood, or, you know, it goes both ways. The other mm-hmm. way is like, I'm really tired, I need to do this, so I'm gonna have another 2 cups of coffee and I'm powering through. What I find is, because my work some like involves also, like, for example, the writing part, I really need to be in that space. And of course, there are things I can do to be in that space, but sometimes I really just need to not do it because I'm not there doing anything. I'm just like filling up space, but not really being productive.
Mm-hmm.
So, and the beautiful thing about this is, and if you learn how your body works on this, like from this place of really understanding these systems of hormonal system and nervous system, which I find that they are key. What you understand is, wow, there are things that I can do and practices that I can do to harness this energy, to harness this. Okay, if it's a mindset, well, like let's say I'm, you know, the ovulation is a time very associated with connection, and because it's the time that, you know, we can actually can generate life, right? Mm-hmm. And for that, you need connection. You can't do that by yourself yet. this crazy world, you still need connection, right? Yeah. So the ovulation period is a time naturally that we feel more drawn to connection. Mm-hmm. And so you can harness that, for example, for your work. If that's the time, like, let's say you need to network with people. Well, that's going to be easier during that period than if it's just one or two days before your menstruation. Mm-hmm. That makes, like, when I hear that, that makes sense to me.
Yeah.
On a bodily cellular level, I can mm-hmm. feel that because I've been observing myself through these phases and cycles for a long time. But even if you haven't done that, once you do it once, you cannot, like, that's what I said. Once you see it, you cannot unsee it. It's just like, but for that, you have to really, I do this, I don't know if we did it in your course, but I do these meditations that you look at yourself from the outside. Mm-hmm. And so that's the ability that you need. You need to look at yourself from the outside.
Wow.
And go, not like, You're not what you think, yeah? Your thoughts are just a part of you. If you run your life through just your thoughts, it's going to get confusing in there. Because you have a lot of thoughts.
Yes.
The mind is confusing, and it's its nature. Mm-hmm. Lots of thoughts, lots of impressions, like registering everything that you've experienced in this life, mm-hmm. either on unconscious, subconscious, or conscious level. So then that's a lot of information in there. So you cannot base your life decisions all from that place.
Definitely.
Integration, sure.
Definitely.
Integration, sure. You need logic too. You need, you know, reason. Mm-hmm. But you also have a whole different system that delivers you that same kind of intelligence.
Mm-hmm.
And that's more intuitive. It's more felt-based. Feeling base. It's more, it's like, I think the word in the beginning that you were perhaps looking for when we were talking about this, it's subtle. Mm-hmm. You use the word etheric, but mm-hmm. it's the subtle intelligence.
Definitely.
Which ether is the most subtle of the elements, right? So yeah, it's very important to have that in mind.
Yes.
And in body as well.
Yes. Beautiful, beautiful, beautiful. I mean, what I'm hearing is that it's again coming back to this self-knowledge, to really knowing first to distinct between the voices. So we have the voice of the mind and we have the voice of the body, the subtle voice that comes from really when we're, I find that it's from having enough silence to hear it, in whatever way that is. And what I'm thinking about is that we also have a voice that is internal, but it comes from the external world. And the feedback that we have from the society, the people that are around us, from culture, from the norms, and honestly also from history and how it's been until now, which was a very patriarchal society and way of living. And one of the subjects that I had here written down that I would love to speak about is actually the power that we have. And when I say power, I don't mean like aggressive, dominating power. I mean the gentle, subtle energy and power that women have. And more specifically about how many women are afraid of that power and shy away from that power, because for many generations we have been taught to be quiet and not really say our opinion and shy away from, honestly, things that will make the men around us uncomfortable. And I would really love to hear you speak about coming back to the feminine quality of power.
Yeah. Yeah, when you say that, it connects me to this idea of the feminine leadership and what it means. Mm-hmm. And one of the things that it means to me personally is this ability to lead from a heart-centered space. And with that, it's, you know, the mind is also like mind and being connected with logic, thought process. It's also relevant, and it can be a great aid and assistant to the heart's orientation, mission. And so I'm always into integrating. But before integrating, you have to separate, right? And you have to really look at each aspect. And I mean, for me, I find that, you know, the best way I can be in my feminine leadership is really to create this life that I want to live. Mm-hmm. In the way that I want to live, to be a creative agent on how I am designing my life. And so, because that goes a little bit against how the society life is designed. It doesn't go against because I want to, because for me it would be easier if it's all like blended in, less suffering, right?
Yes.
But I know that then I'm not in harmony with my way of living. And sometimes sometimes I find myself living in a men's world with men's rules, and I don't really buy into some of those rules. And so I feel like the most, you know, let's say, empowered way of living in this society, this patriarchal society, is to be my own agent of how I am creating my life. And for that, What I found is that you need your empowerment comes through a lot knowing yourself. We're coming back to the same question from the beginning. Knowing yourself and being empowered to choose what is it that you really want to create. Have that, and for that you have to silence a lot of the voices and a lot of the, you know, the imprints that those voices that probably you've been hearing since you're a child again, and because you're a child, you're inside the patriarchal society has been for a long time here, so we grew up in that as well, and here we are now today talking about this aspect of female empowerment. And I find that the most empowering way is that you can really design and live the life that you want as a woman in the world. Mm-hmm. And so that might mean, like for me, it would be not to depend on the, it's not even the man, it's more like to have a certain level of independency that would not require like man to support me, for example. That has been a big thing. Mm-hmm. And so then how can I create my life in a way that's not necessary? Or really to, I don't know, like I live in a country that is, the masculine energy is very present here. And sometimes people assume because you're a woman, you're, you know, you're financially independent, you're, And when I say this, I'm really meaning not, I mean, I think there's beauty on being dependable and independent as well, but it has to come from a place not of need, but of wanting. Mm-hmm. So let me make that clear. I don't want to sound like, oh, I'm like fully independent of everything. It's not like that.
Yeah.
I love to be also dependent and have that trust to trust somebody else and feel like I can that person can be reliable and I can trust them. I think that's beautiful.
Definitely.
But it's more like I'm talking about in the sense of sometimes women not pursuing what they really feel or what they want because they feel they can't do it because they have to be dependent on the husband or the father or the brother or the society in itself that a lot of those structures are masculine, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so I find that the best way you can be through it is really to be creative on how you are structuring yourself here. And I don't know, I feel like maybe it's a very broad subject, that one. And I find that what has been my way of, you know, shifting a little bit the narrative is to educate and empower women about their own bodies and minds as a treasure and how can they harness that to navigate this world, this patriarchal world. And that means you need to create a certain level of independency from these structures. And I think, knowledge, experience will give you that. You can do that. You can definitely do that. Any woman can do that in the sense of this privileged life that we live here in the West.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
it is very privileged of us to be able to say that we should have independent lives, because in other parts of the world women don't really have that prerogative. So I mean, for
but it's you know what, yeah. I mean, it's a huge,
yes,
from kind of I can't go out on the street without the presence of a masculine figure to I hate men. You know? And I feel like anything in our society is very polarized at the moment. Yeah. So when you ask me that, I'm like, wow, I really see myself a little bit in the middle, mm-hmm, of it. As in, I mean, I recognize this, there is a patriarchal structure, and that we live our lives in that paradigm a lot because the structure is designed in that way. But I also feel that, you know, men are also over here a bit confused about their role.
Yeah.
And so, and if we have this, you know, the intuition, the sensitivity, the awareness, then it's also, we have to help with the integration. It's not more separation. And this is what I sometimes don't identify at all in feminist movements.
Mm-hmm.
There's too much focus on the separation and not enough on the integration.
Yeah. There's a beautiful line from your website. And it's really about the integration, about how we learn to architect change from within our body and be inspired in creating a space in our family, our friends, our community, where the feminine is cherished, respected, and encouraged to blossom.
Yeah.
So I thought that was beautiful. You wrote it.
Yeah, that's how I write courses. You know, I start going like, okay, what is the end goal of this? Where is it that we want to go?
Yeah.
That would be what I would love that all of us go in, you know, by the end of the course. Beautiful. And but then it's like, then the course is like the process on how to perhaps achieve that. But really, that is the goal, is the, I don't find at all it's this. I mean, like, really, if I sometimes listen to, I love YouTube. It's just my favorite channel of all the streaming services and things. I love YouTube because you can find anything there. Mm-hmm. And the narrative is very antagonist. It's kind of like, we're in the war of the sexes. It's like, wow, okay, less war. We already have a lot of war. But that requires, again, it's not just women changing their posture. It's also not posture, like their mindset, but also men as well. And we have to have more dialogue and more openness and willingness to learn. But if we go back to, you know, the individual work that you have to do as a woman, it's really about, you know, get to know your body, how your body works and operates. Yeah. It's very simple kind of step.
Yeah.
That's going back to the basics. Mm-hmm. Your mind is important and relevant, but put it for the side for this part. Like, you know, really dive into your, you know, into your body, into your feelings, into your sensations. And with courage, be brave. Be curious too. Be willing to unlearn some things that you learn so far. But you're going to be replacing that for knowledge and experience that it's more supportive of this new aspect of yourself that you're trying to find. Because this is what I find in common to the women that come and do this work, is that at the base of it, there is a level of dissatisfaction. You want to change that. You're not feeling satisfied with your life, with how you are. And I don't know. Sometimes it's just like your body. There is a level of dissatisfaction there. And so you want change. Then you sign up for a training thinking, oh, I'm going on this education. But it's not really just an education. It's like it's a process. It's a self-inquiry process. And so, but yeah, be curious and be brave. Be compassionate mm-hmm. as well.
Yeah, the trainings are definitely the beginning of the process.
It's the beginning. Yeah. It's like, and if you think like it's kind of like, oh, I've done it now. You missed the you missed the point. Mm. You missed the point because it's really the beginning.
Definitely.
I always say that in the last day. This is your first day. Because now you have to go out into the world on your own, as in with what you've been, what you experienced here. And then you have to integrate that into your life. Because otherwise it's just like, it's just another experience, another holiday, another imprint.
Mm-hmm. It's more like the spark.
Yeah, it's a spark, exactly.
Wow, beautiful, exactly. Beautiful. Okay, so there is one more subject that I really wanted to ask you about. So I guess that will be our last subject for today. Because you wrote something about our ancestors and how we learn from them also in the website. And when I was in Mexico, I had a hypnosis session, and in the end, I was just like talking, saying words. And something that really came up for me was that a lot of my power is in the ancestral line of the women that came before me. So could you talk a little bit about what that even is? How do we integrate that in our life and in our practice?
You mean more like the female line of your, yeah.
Yeah.
So This is the I came across this work when I was doing some, I was going through again another layer of the self inquiring, which is the inquiring into the lineage, right? Mm. That you come here. And I find that's important to know in terms of understanding. Well, there's twofold to it. One is it's important to know where you come from in terms of, like, obviously we know about, well, when I say obviously, it's not like for everybody, but hopefully you know about your mother and your grandmother, because that's like a little bit closer generational to you, right? Mm-hmm. But sometimes what we don't know is, like, how are these women really like outside their roles of being my mother or my grandmother? How are they as women? And can you look at them from that lens as well, of like looking at your mother just as a woman and as a woman in the world, not at your time, but in her time, you know, in her timeline. And then you do the same for your grandmother. And then if you're curious like me, you're going to ask everybody in the family about who came before and what they were like. And what I find, and this is a part of a family connection that I love a lot, which is I love listening stories of the past. When I was younger, I used to think that was so boring. I was like, I didn't want to know. And there's like, as an adult, I'm like, I love listening to those stories because first, my family has very rich family history. They traveled, they moved, they survived like wars. I mean, it's when I think of myself here sitting with you today, I think that's a miracle I don't have other definition than that. Yeah. Because everything that they've been through, that the fact that, you know, came to the point that my mother could have me was like, whoa, there was so many decisions that came before that. Mm-hmm. So again, that gives you also an idea of cycles, right? That's an even bigger cycle. That's like the shortest cycle we have is the breath. But then this one is kind of like, beyond our lifetime. And so it's to understand who these women were, understand how that relates somehow into your own patterns, for example. It's very important, like maybe how your mother felt about men might, you know, be a reflection of how you feel about men too. And you have to inquire into that, because that's, if it's her perspective, then it's not yours. So where is your perspective, you know, where is your experience? And so there is there's different layers of why it's important to know the your ancestors, and especially the female lineage, your mother, your grandmother, your great-grandmother. If you can know and really get to know about the life of these women from this sense of like, I want to understand which part is also me today. And then at the same time, develop this deep gratitude about everything they've been through as women in the world. Imagine like my grandmother, 20, like 100 years ago. One of my grandmothers died with 99. Wow. So although that's from the father lineage, but even from the mother lineage, my grandmother died, she was 90. And it's very important for me. Like I feel a deep sense of gratitude of what everything that lineage went through so that I can be here today. And in a way, when we were talking about like this role and women being independent, I mean, me being financially independent is, it's not just important for me. It's important for all that lineage, because none of them were, you know.
Yeah.
They were always dependent on on the husband, on the or the father, when it goes from the father to the husband. And here we are today, living completely different lives, you know.
Yeah.
And I think that is, that's something that brings a lot of joy to my experience, that, that I was able to create that. And that is with their help. I, again, that's why I don't buy into the whole two independent story. Mm-hmm. Even I lived that reality for a while. But it's like we're always dependent on some level.
Definitely.
Yeah. And it's good to be dependent because we as humans, we need connection and interaction. What we need is trustful, that the dependence is trustworthy.
Yeah.
And, you know, and but coming back to that, like knowing your lineage really helps you to understand one, your patterns that you bring through that lineage as well. And the second, to develop this deep gratitude for life itself and for the cycle of life itself, that you're allowed to be here because of all the decisions that your ancestors took. And this is why I like to hear the stories, because I'm going, wow, that was wild. That could, you know, it could have turned out in a completely different way. Yeah. And so that makes me appreciate life more.
Beautiful. That's beautiful. Thank you for that insight. It's exactly what I needed to hear.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay, Sophia, I feel like I want to keep talking with you for another 5 hours, but...
We can do part two. We can do part two at some point.
Definitely. So... just to close off this wonderful and inspiring conversation, I have the closing curiosity questions that I end each episode with. The first question is, what is something you've changed your mind about?
Wow, so many things. But I'll give you one very simple that has just been relevant lately. I changed my mind that meat was bad for you into meat is good for your body.
Wow.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. And I tell you why. Mm-hmm. I developed this very strong anemia, which I not even notice.
Mm-hmm.
And then I started eating meat again from after being vegetarian for many, many years. And wow, it feels so good.
Amazing. And it connects with me, for me, for what we were talking about, like not going against our body, but just going with what is there.
Yeah. And I'm like recovered right now from the anemia. That was a mindset change. And especially one that was deeply rooted.
Beautiful. What is something you didn't think you could do and you did?
Run a business by myself.
Really? How did you navigate that?
Well, one part, which I find that it's so fundamental, I wish somebody had told me this a long time ago, is that you have to do the things that at some point, yeah, at some level, you can also delegate. But before delegating, you need to know what you're delegating. So at some point, I really felt like I needed to do things that I didn't like to do in order to progress.
Really?
Like, because at some point I felt like I was just like doing things that I like to do. Like I love the teaching part. That's my favorite part. Everything that happens is because of that. But then there were other things, like for example, certain admin things that I don't like to do, just simply because I don't like to sit in front of a computer so long. And so, but then I realized that sometimes you have to do those things of that you don't like. But again. And, but those are actually the things that then deliver you to the result that you want. And when I say like running a business by myself, I mean, I work with other people and I have teachers. I have like sometimes some freelance work that I hire depending what I need. I had somebody doing my website, but then I learned during COVID because I didn't have anything to do. And then I'm doing it by myself but it's more like, you know, really take the decisions. That is the part. When I say running it by myself, this is what I mean, is the decision part.
Yeah.
That it's really up to you. It's like, if you don't decide that, things will not happen.
I love
and having that.
Yeah.
That level of being that self-reliable to keep going.
Yeah.
After all these years has been, yeah, it's been taking a lot of energy from me. And I for some part, I thought I was not able.
Mm.
But then here we are.
But here we are.
Years, many years later.
Yeah. I love that because it really connects to what we were talking about before, because you said exactly this, like sometimes you have to do the things that you don't want to do, but you just have to do them. And now you added another layer that these things are actually the things that take you forward and to the next level. So I love that.
Yeah.
Next question is, what gives you hope?
What gives me hope? Us people as a collective and our willingness to learn and change.
Mm-hmm.
I see it every day. That gives me hope.
Yeah. I agree with you.
Yeah. And unlearn as well.
Definitely.
Yeah.
And last question, what are you curious about right now?
Well, I'm very curious as in, well, subject-wise, I'm very curious. You know, I'm teaching now this online. It's a combination of yoga nidra, meditation, and somatics. It's a course called Restore, which I wrote last year and then started teaching it in the beginning of this year. And I love that process of, you know, putting like the materials together, writing the manual, writing my lectures. And in that process, I'm learning so much about the brain. And I'm very curious about the brain. And how, you know, because in yoga, we talk so much about the mind, right? But the mind is very broad, because the mind in the yoga context is everywhere. Mm-hmm. So it's an energy, it's an awareness. It's
really?
Yeah.
Wow.
It's like, and the brain is much more, it's an organ, it's tangible, and you can study it, and you can, it's a bit more tangible to study. The mind is a little bit more broad, and we often confuse that the mind is the brain, but it's not. Mm-hmm. The brain is just a part of the whole mind. It's the organ that a lot of our perception moves, like happens, but the brain is also connected to the rest of the nervous system.
Mm-hmm.
And so the nervous system itself is also intelligence.
Mm-hmm.
It's also brain, you know? And so I'm very curious about this at the moment, the connection between brain, nervous system, and mind. Mind is awareness. So this is where I am in the nerdy corner over there. This is where I am. And then in life, I'm just curious about I think we talked about that, but I don't know if that was recorded. But I'm interested in finding excitement in very mundane chores. Coming from a life that was very based on, like pre-COVID, very based on travel and connection and being in new places and new cultures, into, you know, being in Portugal in the same place. It's like I'm like cultivating the excitement in that as we go.
Beautiful.
I'm curious about that, how that works.
Amazing. Okay, so we definitely have to have a part two, because I have a million questions about what you just said about the brain and the nervous system. That sounds so, so interesting. I'm definitely going to have a second conversation with you if you would.
Yeah.
If you would. But for today, I just want to ask if there's anything else that you want to add, anything you'd like to finish with.
Well, I want to say this was a lovely conversation, because it was also not, even you had the theme, it was such a organic conversation. And I think you have a real ability in doing that, because I listened to some of your podcasts before, and they have this aspect of the conversation that it's very important, because otherwise, like, it's like what I feel now, it's like I have these words, these explanations, this knowledge, let's say, inside, it takes an organic vibe in order to pull it out, you know. And so, and I think you did that really well, and I hope that everything that we talked here is helpful for the people that are listening to you, and that it doesn't have to be the whole conversation. Sometimes just a sentence that works as a seed for your mind, and that your mind is the garden, and so you just allow that seed to grow. So what you're being out in the world right now is a gardener for people's minds, and yeah, so you just continue doing that.
Oh my God, I can't believe you listened to the conversations. That makes me so, I'm so happy. And thank you so, so much. And thank you so much for your time and for sharing all of this wisdom that you've cultivated throughout the years, and your huge, huge heart. And I can't wait to see you in person again, and for part two.
Right. Thank you so much for making this happen, and we talk soon.
Now, after this time to nurture your mind and your spirit, we invite you to take a moment to consider others. A kind wish might come to mind. Know that what we learn becomes more valuable when we apply it and share it with others. So share this episode on Instagram stories, tag Yandara and I, or share with a loved one so that more people can benefit from it. Our hope is that the search will lead you home to who you already are, to what was always there. We'll be back next week with more inspiration, honest conversation, and insight into the energetic world around us. Thank you for listening and watching.